To download more lectures, learn more about our project, and to help support it, visit www.bayinah.com/dream. That's BAYYINAH/dream. You are free to share these recordings with family and friends. Thank you and Jazakumullah khairan for helping us make our dream a reality.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله ثم أما بعد. We're going to pick up from where we left off. This is ayah number 17 of Surah An-Naba. إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا. We said, no doubt, the day of separation. It has already been appointed, and it had been a day with a fixed time. Miqat in Arabic is a ظرف زمان, which means an appropriated or a fixed time for something that can't be moved. Allah says, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. Now that the introduction has been made to that day, now the rest of the ayat, much of them will be depicting the events of that day. Allah Azza wa Jal begins by saying, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ, the day on which it will be blown, meaning نَفْخٌ, يُنْفَخُ نَفْخٌ فِي الصُّورِ, that the breath will be blown into the sur, the trumpet, which is commonly called, but literally a sur in Arabic means the horn, literally the either the horn of an animal or the horn that is blown into. فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجَ. تَأْتُون is in seal al-hadir, which is the second person. All of you will come forward as a result in multitudes and armies. And so we find Allah Azza wa Jal turning towards the kuffar and talking to them, not about them. The surah began, عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُونَ, not تَتَسَأَلُونَ, but يَتَسَأَلُونَ. They are asking one another. It was third person. But now Allah is talking to them. In other words, in the beginning Allah was expressing His disgust with them by not even addressing them directly. He was talking about them. This is called تَبْعِيد in Arabic, to distance oneself from the one you are not happy with. But then there's a tool in Arabic to illustrate your anger at the one by first not talking to them directly and then eventually turning to them and hitting them by surprise. This is what we do in the classroom. Like, for example, the teacher is teaching the class and, you know, one of the children, they failed the test, right? So the teacher walks in and says, some people didn't do very good on their exam. And now everybody's kind of nervous, but they're not sure if it's them. And in the middle of his yelling at the students, all of a sudden he points at Abdullah and says, you, by the way, you know what happens to Abdullah? He's caught off guard all of a sudden, right? This is a consistent tool in the Quran in the way Allah executes a threat. For example, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. They said, Allah has taken a son, right? وَلِتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. Now, then immediately, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. You have come forward with a monstrous statement. A monstrosity you've put forward. All of a sudden you, from they to you. They said, but you've done this, right? So there's this transition from غائب, from third person to حاضر, the second person. This is the same thing that happens in this surah. فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. One of the benefits of the word أَتَى يَأْتِي in Arabic is that it doesn't just mean to come. Like جَاءَ يَجِئُ, it means to come. But أَتَى means to come also means to submit. أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. The heavens and the earth, they turned to Allah, they said, we come in submission, meaning we submit ourselves completely. Right? So فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجَ, you will submit yourselves in multitudes also. Not only will you come forward in multitudes, you'll give yourselves up in multitudes. This is to show the contrast between how you are now, you are in rebellion, and how you will be then, you will be in multitudes altogether in submission to Allah. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. Now you notice Allah Azza wa Jal in this surah, when He was explaining His power, He said, وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا. And there's ijma' on this, that this is referring to the skies because of sab' there, right? That Allah constructed over you seven intense, powerful construction, seven heavens. Now those same heavens that Allah has the power to destroy, that He described their power in this surah, and now He's coming back to those same heavens and that sky altogether, as-sama. And He says, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. Then the sky will be opened up, The sky will be torn open, ripped open, literally. فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابَ Then it is as though it was doors. And this is from the balagha of the Qur'an. What does it mean that the sky will be like doors? This has to do with the fi'l that was used with the samawat before, banayna. Al-bina, to construct. In construction, what's the most loose part of the construction, the building? That's the door. That's the one that opens and closes a lot. If you want to break something in the house, what's the first thing that's going to break? Or get damaged? It's the door, because it hinges and it moves constantly. The window is not in as common use as the door is, right? And that's the weakest part of the construction. When somebody attacks your house, they don't attack the wall, they attack the door. So Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks of this magnificent construction and says it'll look like the whole thing is the weakest construction, the door. فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابَ It'll look like opening and closing doors. You'll see cracks all over the place. As opposed to the situation now of the sky, هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ Do you see any crack anywhere? Right? Allah challenges you to find. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ You'll keep looking until your eyes will get tired and you won't find any cracks. And on the Day of Judgment, the exact opposite, Allah says, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءِ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا And then this is what's going to happen to the sky, that which he impressed the disbeliever with in the way that it's created. Then the next thing, notice before, Allah says, وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا He mentions the mounts in this same surah that are designed, look at the kinds of tents you put together, look at the tent Allah has made, the jibal. The mount. What comparison is there? Now he speaks of those same sky, those same mountains, and he says, "وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ." Suyirat is, of course, in مَبْنِي عَلَى الْمَجْهُولِ بِالْفِعْلِ الْمَاضِي. It's in the past tense, in the passive voice, and الْجِبَالُ is the نائب الفاعل, or الفعل لا تسمى بفاعله. That's the grammatical term. It's irrelevant anyway. The سير actually, this word that's used, سُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ, is used for something that moves easily. Like nowadays you would use tasweer if you take a ball and you roll it on the ground. This is moving easily. There's no force necessary. It kind of sails by itself. Okay? This is the word used for smooth. Like if you're casually walking around, then you're doing tasweer. No effort. If you're running, that's a little different. Right? But if you're just casually moving, this is tasweer. Allah says that the mountains will be moving with ease. They'll just be rolling around, floating around. With casual ease. The last thing you would associate with movement, not to mention casual movement, is the mountain. But Allah says, وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالِ And then He adds, فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا And this has multiple effects. The first effect, first of all, sarab means a mirage. Literally, it means a mirage. Then they'll turn into a mirage, meaning like, you know how a mirage floats in the air? So it'll be almost like the mountains are floating. And also, because a mirage has no reality, in the end when you go there, there's nothing, the mountains will be turned to nothing. But actually this also depicts what the human eye will see. When the human eye will see the mountains moving, they're not going to believe it. What are they going to think? It's going to appear to them as though this is a mirage. This can't really be happening. فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا Then Allah Azza wa Jal now comes to the point. You see, there were two warnings, right? كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ There were two of them. The first one was for the Day of Judgment. That is, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءِ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالِ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا Now all of this was the first كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ What's the second كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ Soon they're going to find out again. This is Jahannam. This is the second time they're going to find out. So قِيَامَة and then النار. Now we go forward, we find the next depiction. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا No doubt the hellfire has always been waiting in ambush. Mirsad, there's another word that's related to it, marsad. This comes from rasada in Arabic. Rasada yarsudu, like nasara yansuru. This refers to the one who is trying to ambush. Like in Surah At-Tawbah we find, وَقَعَدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ Sit there waiting for them in any place you can find to try to ambush them. Meaning a place you hide, where you want to try and attack somebody. That's marsad. Mirsad, which is a different word, is a place ideal for ambush. Meaning it's designed with the only intent to hide and attack the enemy. Allah describes the hellfire as a place that's been hiding and waiting to attack. That's how it's been described. كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا And one of the tafaseer of this ayah, like for example, we find Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, using this ayah to explain, وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَالِدُهَا In Surah Maryam, Allah Azza wa Jal says, there's no one from you at all, except that they will go over it. They will pass over it, meaning they will pass over the hellfire. That bridge, as-sirat, that we're going to pass. So we will get to experience, or at least witness, what we have escaped. Inshallah ta'ala, when Allah, by His mercy, He enters us into His paradise. Anyhow, So now, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا, it's waiting to ambush. Now for the believers, they'll be able to pass by, but for the disbelievers, it will ambush them and it will grab them. So إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا. Then, who is it in ambush for? لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا. It is an ambush for الطَّاغِينَ. Allah didn't say here الْكَافِرِينَ or الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So many other words could have been الظَّالِمِينَ, الْفَاسِقِينَ. Specifically, the word used here is الطَّاغِينَ. Because this is not talking about the kufr is the outside. What's on the inside? It's طُغْيَان. It's rebellion. I want to do what I want to do. The you know, on the outside, even the philosophy major or the professor or whoever, that the people are atheists or whoever, they don't want to acknowledge God or Islam or whatever it may be, not because they have some intellectual arguments. In the heart of the matter, it is they want to live the life the way they want to live them. They don't want to accept a higher authority. In other words, they want to rebel against any higher authority. That's the root of this whole problem. It isn't really that they're curious about an-naba'ul 'azim. It began, عَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. Why are they asking? Not because they're curious, because of their طُغْيَان, because of their rebellion. So Allah says, this ambush of the hellfire, it's waiting in ambush for who? For the rebellious. And then He says, مَآبَ, a place that they will have to keep going back to. Meaning it illustrates they're going to try to escape, and it keeps sucking them back in. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ, a place where you come back to rest. You can't get away from it. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from His hellfire. The word ma'ab is a masdar and it's also a dharf, which means it's a place of stay and it's also stay itself. This is how it's been defined. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. This is a very important ayah, in which there's some confusion which we have to inshallah ta'ala clarify. لَبِثَ يَلْبَثُ لَبْثٌ لَبَاثٌ لَبَاثَةٌ. These words are used to stay somewhere a very long time. So الطَّاغِينَ سَيَكُونُ لَابِثِينَ. They're going to be staying there for a very, very long period of time. And then that long period of time has been given a quantity. This is أحقابة. أحقابة is the plural of حقب. حقب, according to Ali radiallahu anhu, for example, there are many opinions. The most popular one is the one of Ali radiallahu anhu, that a حقب is 80 years. A حقب is 80 years, every day of which is 1,000 years. So it's 80 years, every day of which is 1,000 years. Qatada radiallahu anhu has a different opinion. Regardless, even if it's 80 years and every day is 1,000 years, is that infinite or finite? In the end, that's finite, right? So it led some mufassirun to argue, and this has been negated thoroughly, that the hellfire in the end will end. It won't be there the whole time. Or in the end, it's only this long, at least there's some hope, right? But actually, Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah commented that Allah didn't say haqban, He said ahqaban. Haqban would have been one set of 80 years, every day of which is 1,000 years. But Allah said ahqaban, which means they are multiple. And the tafsir of this is coming in the next ayah, and we'll put the two together. So He says the jama', the plural, illustrates that there's no end to it. When you finish one haqb, what happens? The next haqab begins. When you finish the second one, the next one begins, and so on and so forth. And it's an endless series of plurals. So it's actually illustrating hopelessness. The kafir would think, I have spent an entire haqab, maybe I'm done. As soon as that false hope takes over him, the next haqab begins. And so it's actually a means of torture that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, haqab, a means of psychological torture. By just saying abadan, which He says in other places, that's forever and ever. But you know, if you, again I give you the example of a child, when a child is put in detention for 10 minutes, but the teacher actually knows it's 20 minutes, he is so hopeful with those 10 minutes. When he gets to that 10th minute and he's told there's another 10 minutes, those 10 minutes don't seem like 10 minutes. They seem like hours and hours and hours. They seem like forever. Right? That's the psychological torture of a prisoner. That they're being given at least the hope that the haqab is over, yet another one is about to begin. And how do we know this? The proof in it is in the text itself. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَذُوقُوا فَلَنْ نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابَ is coming. That's the ayah, that's the proof. Allah says, then taste, we will not increase in it for you except anything but punishment. That's actually the toughest or the harshest ayah against the people of hellfire in the entire Quran. When we get to it, we'll talk about that. Now we speak of the two kinds of torture that Allah highlights in this surah. لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. They will not get to taste in it neither coolness, وَلَا شَرَابًا, nor any kind of drink. You know, Allah speaks in the Quran of the least punishment in the hellfire when He says, وَلَئِن مَسَّتْهُمْ نَفْحَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّكَ. Even if a little whiff of the punishment of your Lord touched them, the word He used was nafha. Nafha. In Arabic, there's the word nafha with noon and lafha with lam. They're two words, right? Lafha is a warm breeze. And Nafha with Noon is a cool breeze. So Allah says, even if the coolest breeze of hellfire touched them, even that is so hot, لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ. They will cry out over and over again, destruction has fallen upon us. We have been the wrongdoers. We had been continuously the wrongdoers. So here Allah says they will taste no such thing as coolness, وَلَا شَرَابَ nor any drink. And by the way, again, keep in mind in desert life, what are the two things you aspire towards? You aspire towards coolness and towards a drink. These are the means of these are the joys of desert life. You know the expression in the Arabic language, قَرَّتْ عَيْنُهُ, his eyes became cool, is used when you pass through the desert, it's so hot that your eyes are burning, and finally the sandstorm is over, the heat is gone, then you say, my eyes became cool. Right? That's the same expression Allah uses in Quran for our spouses and our children. Right? رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. The coolness of our eyes. So coolness in Arabic culture is a great pleasure. So Allah takes that pleasure away. وَشَرَابًا and وَلَا شَرَابًا nor any kind of drink. Then He adds only two more things. إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. And these two things are in response to بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. Instead of having coolness, they will have boiling water poured on them. So this is in response, instead of getting cooler, they're getting scorched, literally. Hamim. Then for drink, instead of drink, وَغَسَّاقًا. غَسَّاق is pus, or infected blood. Of the other torture camp, you know, the other companions of the hellfire that are being tortured and bleeding, they're boiling pus and they're infected pus, that's the only thing they will get to drink. SubhanAllah, may Allah protect us from the hellfire. And at the end of all of this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it seems, you know, if you describe this to a disbeliever, they'll say, man, your religion's got a lot of torture, man. This is some serious stuff. This is pretty intense. You know, really, do the people really deserve this? Look at the next words. Jaza'an wifaqa. Jaza' means payback. Jaza' means payback. And jaza' in it already includes the meaning of you get what you worked for. It's already, you know, complete. But then Allah adds the word wifaq. Wifaq is the masdar of wafaqa. Now the idea, sometimes the masdar, the infinitive is used in the place of an ism fa'il. So what we were expecting were the words jaza'an muwafiqun. That's what we were expecting. That's what the normal Arabic would expect. When you say wifaq, what that illustrates is there could be no more suited, perfectly placed, appropriate punishment than this. Meaning the things that these people did, this is exactly down to the last ounce, this is exactly what they deserve, not a bit more, not a bit less. Jaza'an wifaqa. And then, you know, the kafir will come to his mind, what is it that I've done that's so bad that I deserve this? And Allah is saying perfectly this much. This is exactly what you deserve. There's no exaggerated punishment. There's no torture. There's no oppression. This is justice. This is exactly what you deserve. What is it that I did wrong? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. Now this is actually coming as it's opening up the subject. These were no doubt the people. They had been the ones, they had no expectations. They had no hopes in hisab, in accountability. They had no hopes of accountability. Now the wording is very careful. Allah Azza wa Jal did not speak here of these people were expecting, right? يَتَوَقَّعُونَ. They had tawakku' of hisab. They were expecting. No, they didn't hope for hisab. There's a difference. When you don't expect it, that means you didn't have any idea. When you don't hope for it, it means you heard about it, you knew it's coming, or you had a feeling it's coming, but you were very hopeful that it probably, I hope it doesn't happen like that. And you let your false hopes delude you. This is what Allah says, وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. Right? Let their false hopes delude them. Their false hopes were, hopefully this hisab, this accountability, all of my deeds being put in front of me, hopefully this will not happen. And you will find this attitude today, sadly enough, even among some Muslims. Even perhaps even within your family. That you try to talk to them about accountability. We will have to answer Allah for the things we say, for the things we do, for the way we treat one another, for the kinds of monies we earn, for the kinds of monies we spend. We're going to have to answer Allah. And they say, come on, you're depressing me. I don't want to talk about this. Let's talk about something else. Right? Their hopes are being challenged. So they want to stay in their false hopes. They want to stay in their false hopes. This happened to the people of the book before us. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ, Allah says. These are their wishful thoughts. You know? So here again, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. This is their first crime. This crime was on the inside. In their heart, they weren't hoping for any kind of recompense. But then that false hope led them to do something on the outside. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. So there's the inside of the kafir and the outside of the kafir in two ayat. The inside of the kafir is إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَيَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. The outside is وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. They lied against our ayat. This means many things. First of all, they lied themselves. Second, they lied against the miraculous ayat of Allah. They lied against our miraculous revelation. They lied against our miraculous signs. The ayat of Allah are of two kinds, ayat kauniya and ayat quraniya, right? So the ayat kauniya that he's talking about, the mountains, the earth, your own spouses, the fact that we're created in pairs, the night that which we can't avoid our sleep. These are the ayat in our existence. And then there are the ayat of Qur'an. This person did refuse to reflect on either of them. They refused to reflect on either of them. So now, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. By the way, the word كِذَّاب is a masdar, and another infinitive that is associated with it is takdhib. Right? بَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي takdhib. Here we find though, كِذَّاب. The difference between them is كِذَّاب is worse. كِذَّاب is worse than takdhib. And if you look at the context of this surah versus that surah, the people described here are much worse. So this word is used here instead. Anyway, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. They profusely and continuously lied against our ayat. It includes lying against the messengers, lying against the truth, lying against someone or belying someone that is speaking the truth. To you know, when you try to character assassinate someone when they're telling the truth, this is also takdhib. That you're not denying what they're saying, but you insult them instead. And this is what many of the kuffar did against the messengers, alayhim salam. They didn't have any arguments in response to the truth, so they would insult the messengers instead. Hopefully that will end the argument. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. This is against their false hopes. As they were hoping there won't be any hisab. Speaking of hisab, Allah says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. And when it comes to each and everything, كُلَّ شَيْءٍ is مَفْعُول بِهِ. And it's مُقَدَّم, it's brought earlier for ta'ajjub, for shock. Don't be surprised. Each and every last thing, we have completely encompassed. أَحْصَيْنَا. Ihsa in Arabic, in modern Arabic it means to count, right? Like adada, also to count. But there's a difference between ad and ihsa. And the difference is ihsa is to count something and to protect it also, to archive it and to save it and to completely have protection over it. Meaning you're not going to lose your data. You know, the accountant can count and do the books and then the books could get burned or the hard drive could crash or something. But ihsa is not only did you count it, but it's also protected. Allah says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ. We've counted it and protected. Al-Ad wal-Hifz أيضاً. Both at the same time. Kitaba in a record, in a written document. فَذُوقُ. This is the ayah that is considered هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ أَشَدُّ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّارِ كُلَّمَا اسْتَغَاثُوا مِنْ نَوْعِ الْعَذَابِ أُغِيثُوا بِأَشَدَّ مِنْهُ. This is Allah's, the scholars comment, this is the ayah that is the worst ayah of adab. This, the one we're about to talk about. Every time they try to get out of the punishment, they are entered into a one that is worse than the one they came out of. And this is what is mentioned here. Anyhow, فَذُوقُوا. Allah says, then go ahead and taste. Go ahead and taste. Now if you look in the ayat before, كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. They lied against. Third person, right? It was ba'id, it was far away. All of a sudden, فَذُوقُوا. Then as a result, all of you taste. This is you, not they, but you. Again, this is coming closer. The principle here is al-iltifat shahid ala shiddat al-ghadab. That this transition from third person to second person, it illustrates how intense the anger of Allah is that He's actually, having this spoken to them. But here, one of the things is Allah Azza wa Jalla did not say فَقَالَ رَبُّهُمْ لَهُمْ. Their Lord said to them. أو قَالَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. Allah said to them. أو يَقُولُ اللَّهُ. Allah will say to them. Allah does not mention His name next to them. Allah does not mention His name next to the people of the hellfire. And this is so because in many other places in the Quran you will find qila. It was said to them. Or it will be said to them. Allah does not even turn towards them. وَلَا يَنْظُرُوا إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّهِمْ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah says also. Allah will not talk to them directly. So they will be told this. But according to other excerpts from the Quran we learn that on the day of resurrection Allah will not address them. Allah will not address them directly. This is part of their punishment, that Allah won't even turn towards them. May Allah protect us from the hellfire. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Then go ahead and taste. And then, thus we will not increase you. As a result, we are not going to increase you in anything except further punishment. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. What will they be begging for? They'll be begging for some bard, some sharab, some coolness, a little bit of relief, a little bit of drink. But Allah says the only thing that will be increased for you is further punishment, worse than the one that was there before. Now the pages have been turned, the flip side, on the other side. You see, in the surah there are two, they're muhatabain. There are two audiences. There's the kuffar, and there's also the muttaqeen. And when Allah speaks about the muttaqeen, He's also speaking to them. He's giving them counsel also. And this at the same time, the kuffar get to hear how Allah speaks to them. Right? So you have to understand what's going on as far as the audience is and how to appreciate what is being said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to the muttaqeen and talking about them, He says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. It is only for the people of taqwa. Not even mu'mineen here. Not إِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. But إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The people of taqwa. Why? Specifically why? In the context of these ayat, at-taqwa refers to two things. Commonly it is translated as fear, right? Fear of Allah, taqwallah. But that's not entirely correct. That's khawfullah. Like, inni khawfullah, we heard when Iblis says, inni khawfullah rabbal alameen. Right? That we heard in salah. But what here, taqwa, what it refers to is the precautions you take as a result of fear. The things you do because you're afraid. So when you lock your doors at night at the house, you are exercising taqwa. Okay? When you go for Hajj and you make sure your passport is with you and you have some extra some cash and etc. etc. You take these precautions. فَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Right? So taqwa is to take precaution, literally. Allah Azza wa Jal also, He tells us, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ. Take precaution against the fire. Do things that will ensure that you don't end up burning. Right? This is taqwa. So to be careful, to be cautious, to do things because you are afraid, if you're not careful, if you don't protect yourself, you'll end up in trouble. These are the people of taqwa. So taqwa is more than a feeling. Taqwa is a feeling that results in some kind of action. You do something to change or to protect yourself, to help yourself. This is taqwa. So now, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Those people who engaged in taqwa, who had the fear, who were afraid as a result of what they just heard, and it translated into action, what do they have for them? Only for them, مَفَازًا. مَفَاز could be مَصْدَر and ظَرْف. What that means is, they will have success, and they will have the place of success, and they have an appointed time where they will enjoy the success. All three meanings in one word. مَفَاز, once again, will mean, it is only for the people of taqwa that there will be success. There will be the place of success, mafaz, this is dharf makan, right? The place of success being Jannah. And mafaz also the time of success, meaning the believers have to be patient. It's coming. It's not there right now, but it's guaranteed that it also has a time. Okay? Hada'iqa wa a'naba. Then Allah describes that, at least the place part of it, and He gives a badal for it. Hada'iq, gardens. And you know, hadiqa is an interesting word in Arabic. It refers to a garden that has a high fence. Like a tall wall or a high fence around it. So it's a private kind of garden. Nobody else has access, it's yours only. Okay, this is hadiqa as opposed to Jannah. It's a little bit different. Okay, and then also hadaiq, one of the words that's related to is hadaqa, which literally refers to the pupil of the eye because it's surrounded by beautiful color. So it's a garden surrounded by beauty. That's one of the implications of this garden. So hadaiq, multiple gardens, wa a'naba, and grapes. So this is a food that has drink in it already, right? So two things in one, subhanAllah. Wa kawa'iba atraba. Kawa'ib is the plural of ka'ib. Ka'ib is a gorgeous or really beautiful young woman, and they've been described as atraba, that there will be multiple of them for the believers, the hur, and the atrab means that they will be equal in age, or they will be the right companions, the most compatible form of companions, atraba. And then Allah says, وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. And ka's in Arabic, nowadays it means a cup, or it means a glass. In classical Arabic, ka's was only used when the glass is full of wine or some expensive drink. That's the only time they would use ka's. Otherwise, they would use other words for a glass. So here we find ka'san dihaqa, meaning these glasses will be full of expensive or you know, exotic kinds of drinks. And then dihaqa, sparkling and splashing, meaning that the color of the drinks will be exotic and it will be splashing. Like a party taking place, basically. Then Allah says, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. SubhanAllah. They will not hear in that, in fiha, meaning in those gardens, they will not get to hear لغوا ولا كذابا. لغو means useless talk. Useless talk. And كذاب is when someone lies against someone else. Why is it that these two things Allah specifically mentions? In the beginning of the surah there was عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. This was lahu. They were making useless talk about the akhirah. Allah says, don't worry believers, when you get there, you won't have to hear any of this. وَلَا تَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. In this dunya, in Ali Imran, Allah says, you will get to hear a lot of painful things. You will have to endure a lot of painful words from the kuffar. Even the messenger is told, فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. Just have sabr, beautiful sabr in this life. Let wasbir ala ma yaqulun wahjurhum hajran jamila. Be patient over what they're saying. Here Allah is telling us, don't worry about it. When you get there, you won't have to hear any such nonsense. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا. And then the other thing they get, the believers who are working for the deen, you know what they hear all the time? They hear kithab. They hear kithab in the media. They hear takdeeb when people lie against the messengers and spread false rumors about them and insult them. They hear things about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all kithab. These are painful things that the believer hears. So Allah says they won't be tortured with these kinds of words anymore. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا. جزاء من ربك. And all of these beautiful depictions, first Allah says جزاء من ربك. Now notice when it came to the kuffar, Allah says جزاء وفاقا. And he stopped. Wifaq means exact. Not more, not less, exact. Allah did not say wifaq for Jannah. Why? Because He will give us what we deserve and also more. Right? So He says جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Then here He says مِنْ رَبِّكَ. رَبْ السَّيِّدْ وَالْمُرَبِّي وَالْمُرْشِدْ. Right? وَالْمُعْطِي. The one who gives, the one who takes care of, the one who provides, the one who nourishes, the one who creates. All of these positive terms or connotations are included inside the word رَبْ. It's a merciful word. Rabb was not used with them. You know, Allah said جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. No. No مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. There's no mention of the Rabb because there's no mention of mercy next to them. Here Allah mentions His mercy. مِنْ رَبْ. مِنْ رَبْ. But He didn't just say from the Lord or رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ. That's later. مِنْ رَبِّكَ. From your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know when Allah speaks to His Messenger, those are the most merciful places in the Quran. So another degree of mercy has been added because Allah didn't just say Rabb. He said رَبِّكَ, your Lord, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then He added two more words. These are very beautiful words. We already know there's going to be more, because He didn't say wifaq. But He adds even more on top of this. He says عَطَاءً. عَطَاء is when you give someone something that they don't deserve, for no reason, own grandeur. A grant, a gift. This is عَطَاء. Like, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. To give someone is one thing. To grant someone, to shower someone with gifts, this is i'ta. So Allah says, first of all, ata'an. They will be showered with gifts. Then He says, hisaban. Hisaban is not, those of you that speak Urdu, don't think of hisab in Urdu, hisab. This is something else, hisab. This is explained by Qatada radiallahu anhu, for example, who says, ahsabtu fulanan. Ahsabtu fulanan in Arabic, in old Arabic, used to mean, I gave someone so much, so much, so much, that they said, no more, I don't need any more. I don't want any more, I have enough. That point when they reach, you know what they say? They say hisaban. So Allah says He will give so much to the point where the believer will have to say, no more ya Allah, I have enough. So jaza'an min rabbika ata'an, and then hisaban. May Allah make us worthy of this day. Then finally, now we're coming to the conclusion of the surah. Here it was jaza'an min rabbik, and then Rabb has been given further another attribute. This is the same Lord, and this is why Rabb is majroor here, Rabbi, because it's the adjective of Rabbika. Okay, Rabbi samawati wal ardi wa ma baynahuma ar-Rahman. The Lord of the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them, ar-Rahmani. Again, that same Lord happens to be the excessively merciful. Some things you should know about ar-Rahman as opposed to ar-Rahim that are very important in the siyaq, in the context of this surah. The word ar-Rahman is different from ar-Rahim because ar-Rahim is called an ism sifa mushabbaha. It's potential. Like I could say about a person, this person is Rahim, which means he's a merciful person. That doesn't mean he's always merciful. That means generally this guy, he's a nice guy, he's a merciful guy. But that doesn't mean each and every moment he is doing something merciful. When Allah speaks of a mercy that He's doing right at the moment, He doesn't use Rahim, He uses Ar-Rahman. So when there's a specific mercy mentioned, then Ar-Rahman is mentioned. Rahim is general, it's potential mercy. Allah is always merciful, yes. But when there's a special occasion of mercy, then Allah doesn't just say Ar-Rahim, He says Ar-Rahman. So Ar-Rahman is used here because the special mercy is being given to the believers on the day of resurrection. They are being given this special jaza'an min rabbik. On top of that, what is the rahmah of Allah? Ata'an and hisaban. That's why Ar-Rahman is perfectly suited here. So now, and also from the disbeliever side, who will hear this warning from Surah An-Naba, which is very strong, and in the end might lose hope that this, you know, I'm messed up already, I have no hope left. Allah mentions his name, that even this person may have hope in the mercy of Allah, the exceedingly, the unexpectedly merciful. لا يملكون منه خطابا. They will have no control, they will have no ability, no power whatsoever in regards to him on that day, in terms of addressing him, in terms of even making a case with even a word in their own favor. لا يملكون منه خطابا. And then this is the case of the kuffar. لا يملكون منه خطابا is for the kuffar. But then Allah says something else. لا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة. The day on which الروح by almost ijma, even though there's not entirely ijma, but almost ijma of the ummah, of the mufassirun, is that it refers to Jibreel alayhi salam every time it's mentioned pretty much in the Quran, except for one or two places. But here, almost ijma that it is, in fact, Jibreel alayhi salam. So the day on which Jibreel alayhi salam, ar-ruh will stand, wal-malaika, and the angels. So ar-ruh wal-malaika. What's interesting is, in other places in the Quran, we find the reverse sequence. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ. Right? تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةً. So usually we find the angels and the ruh. The angels and the ruh. Here we find the ruh and the angels. It's a reversal in the sequence. Why? One of the scholars of Balagha, for example, Al-Sha'rawi rahimahullah, commented on this. And he said that whenever you find movement, a lot of movement, then angels are associated with going up and down in constant movement. And there you find malaika mentioned first. And when you find responsibility, then who has the most responsibility among the angels? It is Jibreel alayhi salam, so he is mentioned first. So here, this is the place of the utmost responsibility, standing before Allah on resurrection day, so Jibreel alayhi salam has been mentioned first. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ. Another benefit of knowing this, by the way, is the mushrikun, remember we said in the beginning they had different theories about akhirah? One of their theories was, well, the angels will come and save us. Because we worship the angels, they're the daughters of Allah, ma'adallah. And who's the greatest of the angels? Ar-Ruh. Allah says, even Ar-Ruh will be standing, and all of the angels will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saffan, standing in straight rows, لا يتكلمون. They won't be uttering a word. So when they heard the previous ayah, who did not have the ability to speak? The kafir. But they're still hoping, maybe the angel will speak for us. In the next ayah, who is not speaking? Not even the angels. لا يتكلمون. They won't be uttering a single word. إلا من أذن له الرحمن. Except for the one who the most merciful has given permission. Who the exceedingly merciful, Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Rahman, will give permission. وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. And even if he does speak, he will say that which is true. He will say that which is upright. Now here, one thing, قَالَ is not يَقُولُ. Allah didn't say وَيَقُولُ صَوَابًا. Even though he says يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ. مُضَارِعُ مُضَارِعُ. Present tense, present tense. But he goes back to past tense. This illustrates that even when someone does speak on the Day of Judgment, it won't be long. It'll be very, very brief. They won't get to say much on the Day of Judgment because they will be spoken to rather than them doing the speaking. وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. Even if he says something, it'll be upright, straight to the point, and that's it. Now, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. That, now, there's three grammatical ways to look at ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. One way to look at it is, ذَلِكَ is مُبْتَدَى and الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ is خَبْر. What that would mean is, that is the true day. The translation would be, that is the true day. Another way of looking at it is, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. That day is the truth. So, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ is the مُبْتَدَى and الْحَقِّ is the khabar. And ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ, the third way of looking at it is, there's a hadf here. That, you know, اِعْلَمُوا هَذَا or اِعْلَمُوا هُوَ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. Something like this. That you should know that in fact this, what we're talking about, this is that day, that true day that is coming. So it's a fragment altogether. But the rajih, the closest to correct opinion, which is endorsed by the majority of the Ahlul Sunnah Mufassirun, is ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ is مُبْتَدَى and الْحَقِّ is خَبْر. In other words, that day is in fact the ultimate truth. Usually the predicate, the latter part of an Arabic sentence doesn't have al. So ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ حَقٌّ is normal. But if you put al on it, this is hasra. This, what this means is, there's no truth like that day. That day is the ultimate truth. That's what's being said here. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. Then whoever wants, let him find ma'ab towards his Lord. Let him hold on. اتَّخَذَ means to hold on to something. Not just to hold, but to hold on to it. So whoever wants, let him hold on to a path that will lead towards his Lord, and that he it be a ma'ab. Now ma'ab was used already in the surah, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke about Jahannam being ma'ab, right? But now he's speaking about another ma'ab. You want a place of return towards your Lord. That should be your goal in this life. May Allah make us of those who hold on to that ma'ab. So whoever may want, let him find a place of return towards their Lord. And then in conclusion of this surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Inna anzarnakum. Allah did not just say anzarnakum. Anzarnakum means we have warned you. We have warned you. Inna anzarnakum means it is no doubt we who have warned you, not anyone else. Okay? This use of inna yadullu ala ghayr al-fa'il. It alludes to another than the fa'il. The kafir thinks Muhammad is warning us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He thinks Muhammad is warning us. Allah is letting him know. It is in fact we no doubt that are warning you, meaning Allah is warning you. Don't think this is warnings of a man. This is the warnings of the Lord of the worlds. Inna anzarnakum adaban qariban. Of a punishment that is near. Not of a far off thing. Innahum yarawnahu ba'idan wa narahu qariba. They see it very far away, we see it very close. عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. We said before, remember سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. The سَا was for closeness. The conclusion is also closeness. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. The day on which every single individual person will see whatever their hands sent forward. This is an expression in the Quran commonly misunderstood. In English, simple English, even some person born and raised speaking English, you say whatever their hands sent forward doesn't make sense. So it requires a little bit of explanation. What it means is most of our actions are done by what? Our hands. And when our hands do an action, where does it go? It gets recorded. And then it gets sent forward. So the idea is whatever you've done is basically already been archived and sent on record, and it will be brought out of those archives and displayed before you on a day that is coming ahead. So it's been sent ahead, and you, when you get ahead to that day, then it will be shown to you. That's the idea behind قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. So every person will see what both his hands sent forward. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ. And as a result, the disbeliever will say on that day, in other words, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Really, there are no words in English that depict the power of يَا لَيْتَنِي. This is one of the problems of translation, that in modern language we are much less articulate than in ancient languages. Like in older English you had something like woe is me, right? But in contemporary English when you say woe is me, nobody really takes you seriously. So we can't really use that anymore, right? So in other words, in situations like this, in modern language, usually a person is speechless. Ya laytani, the closest thing in our times, is a person who is so sad and so scared and so overwhelmed that they don't have any words. When you're speechless and dumbfound, this is ya laytani. This is the person going, oh, you know, all they're doing is sighing. All they're doing is screaming. But there's a word for that even in Arabic. Even for that speechless occasion, there's the phrase ya laytani, destruction has fallen unto me. But or upon me. But the person who destruction has fallen upon won't be able to say these words, except, you know, the way Allah is describing is the emotion that is going to be of that person. كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. If only I had been reduced to nothing but dust. If I was nothing but dust. So on this, before this comes, this arrogant kafir is walking around in arrogance, thinking that he has no accountability. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. And on that day he's hoping he was nothing. He was reduced to dust. And by the way, dust in Arabic tradition is also associated with humiliation. Right? So to put dust on someone or to kick dust in someone's face, right? These are expressions of humiliating someone. So the last thing the person wants is to be associated with dust, this kafir. Because his ego doesn't want to be associated with dust. But here, when Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, he faces Allah Azza wa Jal on that day, he's wishing he was that humiliated. He was like dust. He was reduced to nothing. Now finally, inshallah ta'ala, like I said, we're going to conclude with how the beginning of a surah correlates to the end of the surah, and we're done inshallah. And it's very brief. These are notes I've taken from Shaykh Fadl Salih al-Samira'i, who's done remarkable work on the cohesion of surahs. عَمَّ يَتَسَأَلُونَ. In the beginning, what are they asking each other about? So the kuffar were adamant and arrogant and, you know, in disregard of the reality of the hereafter. So they're casually talking to each other. And at the end, what's their state? لا يتكلمون لا يملكون منه خطابا. They have no ability to speak whatsoever when the time will come. So right now, let them run their mouth. A time will come when their mouths will be silent. So there's correlation from beginning to end. Then Allah says, الذي هم فيه مختلفون. They have disagreement. Vehement disagreement. I think there's nothing's going to happen in the hereafter. I think we're going to be raised, but we're all going to go to heaven, or we'll all be some souls or spirits. Everybody's got their false ideas. But on that day, there's only one opinion that'll come forward, the right one. وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. He will speak the right thing. If anybody speaks, they'll be saying the right thing, as opposed to the state now. And finally, Allah warned them, ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. No, they will soon find out. They will soon very well know the consequences of their speech. And at the end, when they know the consequences of their speech, what will they be saying instead? Ya laytani kuntu turaba. That's the consequence of it. If they knew, they would be saying that already. If they knew, if they only realized the burden of those words. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.